Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
This is Jeremy McFarland for the Sports History Network show, Football is Family. I want to thank y'all for listening. If you do me a favor real quick and hit the subscribe button for this podcast and also rate and review me. Let me know what I'm doing right. Let me know what I need to improve on. I'm here to get better. So just let me know. And I also want to thank you for this opportunity to talk to you. Through the show, I've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of different people from a lot of different places in life. And every one of them has a story about why they like a certain team or why they like a certain moment or a player or anything like that. Today's episode, I go into the future, so to speak, and you'll understand it more when you listen to this episode, but I go into the future and talk to somebody who was a day ahead of us about why he likes the NFL and a particular team. Now, being from Tennessee, you probably know that my voice is a little bit different than most. Well, his voice is different than mine. So just listen and you'll see why that's the case. I enjoyed this interview and I encourage you to listen and then subscribe to his Twitter account and see what's going on with the NFL cliches. Now, a couple of things before we go into the interview section. I have a couple books I want to recommend that I've enjoyed reading. The first one is The Cotton Bowl Days by John Eisenberg. Now, if you can find this great book, I've interviewed Mr. John before. If you can find this great book, it's called The Cotton Bowl Days. It describes some of the history of that famed stadium and the events that took place in the Cotton Bowl in Texas. I encourage you, if you can reach out and find this from John Eisenberg, you will enjoy every minute of the read. Also, there's another one by one of our own at the Sports History Network. It's by Tommy A. Phillips, called The Great 80s, A Journey Through Another Exciting Decade in Pro Football History. Now, if you want to read a book that's in-depth to the nth degree and is good, that's really good and gives you all the answers that you can ever have for questions for the 80s, let me recommend this book by Tommy A. Phillips. And if you need any help getting to any of these books, just message me on Twitter at Jeremy_McFarland or on the Footballers Facebook, or excuse me, the Footballers Family Facebook page. And I can see if I can get a hold of the authors for you and see if they can get you one of these books. Also, like I said, follow me on Twitter at Jeremy_McFarland or on the Footballers Family Facebook page. And I put things on it a few times a day. I had to kind of keep you up to date on what's going on with this podcast and also the Sports History Network, your home for the yesteryear of sports. We have a lot of good things going on, including giveaways, and we have one going on right now. So just hop over to my Twitter page and you'll see a link to sign up for a great gift from about the NFL's 100th year. But before I leave you, I want to let y'all know that we have a sponsor here. A shout out to the advertiser for the Hit Sports History Network and the Football's Family podcast. If you're listening to this podcast, you are probably a sports history fan. And if you're into sports history, you need to check out newspapers.com. At newspapers.com, you can get access to 640 million pages worth of news from US, Canada, England, Scotland, shout out to Scotland there, Ireland, and more dating back from 1798 to yesterday. Get a free week subscription to newspaper.com by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. That's sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. And with a paid subscription, you'll also support the production of this and other Sports History Network shows. That's sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. Thank you, and I will see y'all next week at the Footballers Family podcast. Enjoy this week's show with a great guest from Australia. And we are back to the Footballers Family Podcast. And I've got a special guest coming from tomorrow. Not today, yep. But from tomorrow. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Gary Jarjura, and I'm from Sydney, Australia. And it's Tuesday morning here. So, you know, the future is so bright, I've got to wear shades. But if I wore shades, you wouldn't see me, and because I'm old.
At least we know there's going to be a tomorrow because it's already taken place.
That's right. That's right. I can't give you any betting tips, but yeah.
Now, as y'all can tell, and he mentioned it, he is not from around where I'm from here in Hurricane Mills, Tennessee. Sydney, Australia. Now, you're an NFL fan.
I love the NFL. I get up early in the morning because, as I say, we're in the time difference and so on. So a lot of the Thursday night games are actually on Friday during the day here, and the Sunday games your time. So they start 1 p.m. Eastern. So depending on daylight saving and all that sort of thing, that they can start sometimes 3 a.m. Monday morning our time. So, you know, so like if you and so on, and then going right through, you get the Sunday night game, and then the Monday night game is always on Tuesday.
Now that's dedication. When a Monday night game goes past about 9 o'clock, I'm out. You're up at 3 a.m.
Yeah. I go up 3 a.m. Sometimes, you know, I record them, and you know, I did doze off and so on. You know, I have to admit, sometimes I get up, I watch a chunk of them, and I've had to put a bit of a pause and have a half hour, an hour nap, and then get back into it and so on. But unfortunately, it'd be great if they were on Sundays and so on. And also, the other great thing about the NFL is it's predominantly on during our off season from our, you know, rugby competitions and so on. So, you know, because our winter, it's coming into, we're in autumn now. And so our football season has been on for the last 4 weeks and we'll go on until end of September. Final is beginning, you know, grand finals beginning of October, you know. So, and then, you know, during cricket season, as I would call it, during our spring and summer, we have the NFL. So I've got basically, you know, football all year round.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, how do you watch it? What stations do you get there in Sydney?
I get, they've changed it around a bit. They've got, I get ESPN. So any games on ESPN or ABC. So the Sunday through ESPN here, they show the Sunday night football game, they show the Monday night football game, and one of the channels shows two games per week. So like, you know, you'll get from the Sunday game, so like one of the 1 p.m. Eastern games they'll pick and one of the others. But I also purchase the NFL International season package, which gives me Red Zone highlights and so on and so on. It's a little bit expensive. I don't have the full package, but I have the Red Zone and other things and so on. So, as I say, it's about $150 for the season. But that's my birthday present for my fiance every year. Birthday's late September, so it works out. Yeah.
Well, what team do you follow the most?
I follow the Miami Dolphins, and I should have gone and grabbed a hat and put it on, but I think we all know what the Miami Dolphins look like. So basically, how I got involved in the Miami Dolphins. So in early 70s, my parents went overseas. They went down to Florida and caught up with some friends and so on, who took them it was 1972, to a Miami Dolphins game. And you can imagine my mother was appreciative of what these people were doing, but, you know, thought it was quite boring because she had no idea what was happening and they're in the stands and so on and so on. But they got taken to the game because my heritage is Lebanese descent, And the original owners of the Miami Dolphins were Lebanese Danny Thomas and Joe Robbie, and so on. So these people said, "Oh, you know, take mum and dad along." Anyway, mum and dad brought back a souvenir. They thought they should buy something, so they brought these horrible, you know, in the green Miami turquoise they call it, or whatever they call that horrible green denim pants and jacket for one of us boys, because there's six boys in our family, and thought, oh, one of them will wear it. We just looked at it and going, wow, this just looks weird. No one would ever wear this. And it sat in the cupboard at home for forever, up until 2001, when my parents moved out of there. And unfortunately, it got thrown out and I didn't get to keep it. But no one ever wore it. So I always knew who the Miami Dolphins were, because back in the 70s, there was very little. The games weren't on TV and so on in Australia. You get some highlight packages. But we did know who Orenthal James was, and we did know who Broadway Joe was, because they were in TV shows and movies. And, in fact, Fran Tarkington was in That's Incredible. So we knew a few of the players. Terry Bradshaw was in, you know, a few of the movies and so on, with Burt Reynolds and so on and so on. So we knew some of those, you know, well-known players. Like, you know, today you would equate it to people know who Tom Brady is, even though they don't follow the game and so on, and they've heard of Peyton Manning and so on and so on.
Right.
So that was that right through. Then late, it was 1978, I went and saw Heaven Can Wait, which was, you know, still one of my favourite films of all time. I think we're going to go to the Super Bowl. I think we're going to win, you know. I don't know if anybody's haven't seen that, but it's a Warren Beatty classic. So that's still one of my favourite films. So, you know, I sort of had a bit of a spot for the Rams for a while. And then I moved back to I moved to America and went to film school end of 93, into 94. And then I obviously started to, you know, games were on all the time. I started to watch games. And then Ace Ventura came back, and it was all revolved around the Miami Dolphins. So
yeah, Laces Out.
That's right. So it was all Dan Marino's in there, everything. It's Miami Dolphins all the way, that film. And coincidentally, directed by someone who has Lebanese descent and so on. And it was an absolute classic, hilarious film. And so then it became – and also friends from film school explained the rules to me. But the big thing I got, not just knowing the rules and so on, but I – became aware of the history because I was watching the NFL films, shows and so on. So I became emotionally connected to not just the Dolphins, obviously I had a connection, but all the teams. I understood the rivalries. I understood the history and so on. So NFL films is one of, you know, the greatest things, because, you know, you go back and revisit and you get the emotion and so on. So once I was emotionally reconnected and I understood the rules, and as time I learn, even today I'm learning more and more about schemes and so on and so on, I've been emotionally connected. And I think if someone's emotionally connected to any sporting team and so on, they'll get into it and watch it. It's like I've tried to push for the rugby and the rugby league here to be more people connected to it more in America and so on. I've pitched as a production person, I've pitched shows and so on and so on. I say people aren't going to get into it until they're emotionally connected, till they know what is, you know, why there's a rivalry and so on and so on, you know. So, yeah.
Well,
so
you picked a good year to follow the Dolphins.
Yeah, well, I mean, the defense has picked up. I think they've got a good coach. Personally, I know people say, oh, how dare you, you know, when you say, oh, I've got my reservations about tour. But, you know, I mean, if you're a fan, I mean, I noticed on fans are saying, how dare, you know, mocking other fans and saying, how dare you say, why aren't you not a fan if you're not behind tour and so on. I'm like, no, I think people want it. Everyone to succeed. No one ever, I don't think any fans want anyone to fail for their team. But I think a fan, especially when you've gone through many years of trauma, you know, like, you know, you think of, which is a lot of teams, you want it to work. You don't want, oh, well, this person's, you don't want just hype and so on. So my concerns are, I have concerns about tour. I hope I'm wrong. But the problem is, as you know, you turn it around, you get a good defense, you get a good coach. If you don't have a complete team, then you can spend 2 years trying to see if this person's the right person. And if they're not, you're back to square one. And by that time, you lose pieces on your defense because they go elsewhere or whatever and so on. So I'm trying to be positive, but... I'm just being real about it, and so that's well, my thing. But
you've been looking for a quarterback since 1998, and you've had some decent ones: Chad Pennington, Dante Culpepper, but you haven't had the Bob Greasy or Dan Marino since then.
No, and it's. Yeah, that's it. We've almost been there, and so on. And yeah, it's like we've had elements. Different management have tried different things. They've tried some high priced people, like defensive people, and you know, wide receivers, and so on, and different people, and so on, or people that are past their prime that they've, you know, got to come in, and so on. But yeah, we just haven't had. Well, you know, Tannehill. They had him for quite a few years. It didn't happen. He goes to Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay with that.
You're happy with that?
I'm happy with that, yes.
And it's, it's like the Miami Dolphins. Yeah, exactly. They're like, do you want him? We'll pay you to take him, actually, you know. So the Miami Dolphins subsidized part of his salary and said, hey, do you want to take him? Yeah, great. And he started back up and came on, and hey, you've been roaring these last 2 years. I mean, would you say he's probably about the 10th best quarterback in the competition, would you say, or something, you know?
It's kind of hard to judge that, because I would still put Tom Brady in the top five, and yeah. I might be wrong on that, but I still put him in the top five. So Tannehill would be top 10. Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. 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 It's hard to know. Like it's like with any, you know, like I know people go, oh, well, Brady just won the competition and so on and so on. And, sure. But you know, yeah, it's hard. Yeah, if you don't put him in the top five, then people go, well, how can you do that and whatever. But, you know, apart from that, you know, you take after like the Mahomes and Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson. I mean, you know, and so on and so on. You know, is he that far behind the others and so on? But anyway. But yeah, so that's the Miami Dolphins. I hope we do well. That seems we've been getting a lot of draft picks. Are the draft picks we've been picking with all these great draft picks, are they the best? That's the other thing is people have been praising the CEO and saying, wow, you've done a great job getting all these draft picks. And that's a fantastic job to get all the draft picks he's gathered in the last couple of years and for the next year or two. So great draft picks, but ultimately, are those draft picks the best we can get, or are they going to be great, or are they going to be middle of the line?
Are you able to watch the draft there?
Yeah, definitely. It's on, it'll be on ESPN. So part of my TV sports package streaming, I get everything ESPN. So ESPN, I'll have it. I'll put it on the computer, NFL Network. They basically pretty much show it on their website and so on. So, yeah, I'll follow it all and so on, as I say. So it's Thursday night, so that'll be Friday morning. It'll be, first round, and then then Saturday, second and third round, and then when it comes to 4 to 7, I usually follow that online and check in and so on, because they happen pretty quick. But so the Dolphins, we've got two picks this year, and we'll see how we go. And we tried to pick up your Tennessee's first round pick, but from last year, you guys released him, and we released him very quickly too. So
y'all can have him.
Yeah, it just goes to show what roll of the dice picking the draft can be.
Tennessee has had some issues. We picked up a guy called Pac-Man Jones a few years ago, and he didn't work out for us, but he did for Cincinnati. And now we got Isaiah Wilson, and it wasn't good. But you have – what's interesting to me is you have a book. Can you explain your book to the audience here?
Okay. So I don't know if you can see that, but it's
over 1,000 NFL cliches and hilarious cynical grabs.
Yeah. So I watched the game. Oh, I'll backtrack. I wrote a rugby book called Rugby League is the Winner two years ago. It was basically, I joke about it with my brother and cousin and so on, about all the cliches that all the commentators and everybody uses all the time. And then I decided to write a book and so on. But the thing about writing the book, you can't just write the cliches, because you hear them all the time if you just watch any game or any sports show. You hear people say it. So what I decided to do, I needed to put a cynical grab. So I have to do an NFL book, because that, along with rugby league, is my favorite sport to watch and follow. So you can have the cliches. I can, I don't know if you can see them, whatever. But, you get a cliche, but you also get, I thought, you need more than that. You need a cynical.
I just saw it said busted coverage, and it said your phone line went down or something.
That's right. Phone coverage breaking up. Exactly. So so I'm like, that's why I say the cynical and hilarious grabs. I mean, I've tried to put a lot of, over 1,000. I mean, you could keep going and put 2,000, but there's so many cliches you hear. Like, I watch shows now and I'm going, oh, it's another one. Yeah, I could put that in the book and so on. But to entertain, you really, as I say, but wrestles the ball away, that would be a good cartoon I've got. So basically, I'm just trying to find a cartoon. Give an example. I don't know if you can see that.
Illegal formation. Yeah, you have a bunch of people, smaller people, and then there's one big guy about to knock them all down. Turf monster, like the Loch Ness monster. Oh. I love it. See, this is the crease. They folded.
Yeah. Instead of the referee, you've got a judge.
Oh, yeah. I see the judge in the background. It's the old-fashioned judge that you would see in Great Britain with the wig on.
Yeah, exactly. So we're in Australia, so we have the same
legal
system. So that's why I did it. But I also thought maybe people, to show you the judge, hopefully people will pick it up. So,
What you did with this book is you take what we as football fans just take for granted. You said, well, this is what it sounds like.
Yeah. So basically, as one friend of mine said, it's like a toilet or a coffee table book. It is. It is. I'm I'm a slow reader. So obviously I like drama and that. I watch movies and I've written scripts and movie scripts and so on and ideas. So I do a lot of that and I do a lot of short reading and so on. But to read a whole novel, and that's probably why I didn't do very well at school, it takes me a long time. Like some people could read a novel within 2 days. But the great thing about this is, you know, if people like me, you can just jump in and out of the book at any time. So I'm just going to give you.
Oh, okay. They have one there here. It says 3-4 and 4-3 defense. Both add up to 7. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
That's right. So you do that sort of thing. You've heard the 3-4 and you've heard the 4-3, but I'm trying to like give you a giggle by putting it together and saying, yeah, it adds up to, you know, because that's the sort of thing, you know. It's like, yeah, I'm trying to give you, and also, you know, like people think, well, what do they give someone, you know, as a gift and so on. So it's also like a gift book, you know.
Where can you get it?
If you go to the website nflcliches.com and then you'll contact me directly and then I can organize to get it to you. So $10 for a paperback version, or if you were like a, and that includes postage, so $10 posted to you in America, or a digital copy, $5. So I can basically send you, I can email you a digital copy that you can download and so on.
Now, are you on Twitter?
I am, but I, to be honest, I don't have as many followers as I would have thought and so on. So,
well, I tell you what, you give me your Twitter address and you'll have one right now.
Okay. All right. So it's NFL Cliches. Sorry.
All right. NFL Cliches.
Yeah.
And there you are, and you have another follower.
Thank you very, very much.
No problem.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the first one that you have posted, the one that you have posted 2-8. It had a picture of Patrick Mahomes falling to the side, throwing the ball during the Super Bowl, and he said he tried, he will be back.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good one. I saw that. I took a photo of that from something else and whatever, because I thought it's a classic photo. I mean, like that was still within a few minutes to go in the game. And that's right. From that pass, that might have been the one that was intercepted. I'm not sure if it went to ground. The guy dropped it. Maybe there was the guy dropped it. But I mean, a lot, you know, the guy didn't spit the dummy yet, or the pacifier, as they say. We call it a dummy, but for the book, my American friend edited the book for me, and she said, no, we in America you call it a pacifier, not a dummy. We call it a dummy. but he didn't spit the pacifier. He was trying right till the end. I just think some of their tactics and so on. I think their coaching staff were just distracted that day and so on. And the whole thing, you know, they could have gone into halftime like really if they were just kept it a bit tighter, 10-6, then it might have been a little bit different in the second half. But it was just one of those games. But yeah, he tried, and gosh, he's entertaining to watch. You know, I mean, like there's my nephew who's just turned 19. You know, he follows the NFL now, and you know, he's just like he and his friends. He tells them about Mahomes and so on. So Mahomes is going to get another generation of people watching NFL around the world.
Mahomes could be our generation's or this generation's Joe Namath.
Yeah.
Getting people involved with football that may not have been involved with football.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'll tell you what, he looks like he's a pretty good guy. He sounds like he's got a level head. And that's one thing that people want to see now is somebody with a level head, somebody who has, you know, he has his teammates involved. And that's something to me Patrick Mahomes is. He looks like he's got all that together.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he seems very impressive guy and so on and so on. And he's come leaps and bounds straight away. And you just sort of feel that he's the type of guy that will still be there and so on and battling away. And look, you know, hopefully for them, their fans and so on, and they're exciting to watch. So you hope they're in the playoffs and everything for many years to come and so on.
Well, he's going to be able to buy this whole country soon with the money he's about to make.
Yeah. So, but he's in this, you know, he's in the AFC, so the Tennessee Titans and the Miami Dolphins got to get past him. But,
yeah. I don't – every time he gets out on the field, I'm like, oh, he's going to score 100 points.
Yeah. He, excuse me for that. Sorry.
Well, Mr. Gary, I appreciate your time. And, again, your book is the NFL – it's let's see that NFL, title one more time so we can get this out.
NFL
over 1,000 NFL cliches and hilarious cynical grabs. And I will put a link to this on my Facebook page and my Twitter page.
Oh, thank you very much. And you see the cover photo.
Relieving the pressure. Oh, it's kind of a Tom Brady reference there. Oh, inflating the balls. Oh, Mr. You hit hard on some Tampa Bay people.
Yeah. I met Tom a few times when I was living and working in America. We did a lot of the ESPN shows. We did the ESPN award show, the ESPYs and so on, and Tom was there. And the first one was just after he had won the Super Bowl. And, you know, it was like, yeah, this young guy won the Super Bowl and whatever and so on. And, you know, all these years later, oh, this old guy is winning. Whatever. Yeah.
He gives a lot of hope for us who are over 40.
Yeah. But look, he's a nice guy and whatever, but he's done enough winning, you know. People go, oh, you don't like him? I go, no, it's not I don't like him, but it's just I'd like other people to win, you know. It's just like, imagine I've been a Dolphins fan and being in the same conference as the New England Patriots. When they won the first one, yeah, I thought that's great for you guys. I'm happy for you guys. But that should have been it. But, you know. Not only they went to six and whatever. You think about it without, you think about it, without Archie Manning, how many more times may Tom have been in Super Bowls and won Super Bowls? Because.
Oh, gosh.
You think of not only the times that Peyton was in the Super Bowls, which was four, but the other times, and then you had Eli. So and so on. So theoretically, you know, and if Peyton wasn't around to give him a run for his money all those years, could, you know,
he could have won. Well, what was that? What, 13?
Well, that's six. That could be, yeah. So there's Peyton's in four. So that's four more. Tom could have possibly been in. Plus the Eli ones. That's two. So that's, yeah, so we're talking six, plus just the fact is that Peyton was in the conference and so on and so on. Yeah.
So he has to blame Archie Manning for the sons that he gave us. Mm.
That's right. Could you imagine? I know that's hypothetical and you can say all sorts of different things, but it is interesting, just the one family, you just think, and at the same time, you know, playing at the same time and against them in those important matches, the AFC conferences or the Super Bowls. It's just sort of going, wow, it could have, because the second time I went to the ESPYs, third time I worked at it, Tom was there and Peyton and Eli were all there, and I was just the three of them all together, and you're thinking, wow, you know, all these years down the track, you know, this is before Eli or Peyton had won their Super Bowls and so on. So this was in the mid-2000s. 2004, 2005. Yeah, so, you know, interesting how history writes itself and so on. But I'm waffling on, and no, I know okay. You're a fan, but the draft's coming up. As I say, I watch all the shows all the time. I, you know, through YouTube, you get a lot of the shows and ESPN and so on. I'm very intrigued what's going to happen in the draft, and then we'll see how we go and before we know. One thing I will say, so this season that you're going to 17 games, which right. I enjoy, but I don't understand why they're not giving him a second bye. It makes a lot of sense to a lot of things, because I tell you why.
I don't either.
Because in our competition, Our competition goes for 25 weeks in the rugby league, right? Okay, so it's a lot longer and so on. They get two buys. Plus, in there, we have some rep games and so on because we play international games and state games, which is a pity that doesn't happen with American football, but it's different. But we have international games and so on. So it's spread out and there's more games and so on. But it's a big thing to have a bye. And also, if you spread out the competition for another week, you'd have less of a cluster of games on that Sunday time. Because I turn it on and that 1 o'clock window for you guys, there's all these games on. And I'm like, and I know people are fans of Red Zone and so on. And I watch Red Zone because, hey, the games are on that time. So if you want to catch them all, that's what you got to do. But I like watching actual games, getting into the flow of the games, getting into, okay, is this going to happen, as opposed to just watching highlight packages. And if you're watching Red Zone, and especially in that 1 o'clock window, you're just basically watching highlight packages, really, aren't you? You're just jumping between 8 games sometimes. Yeah. Now, if there was an extra week of buys, that would spread that out. So instead of 8, you got, what, let's say 6 games. That's still plenty of games on to jump around between. And then you're spreading the competition an extra weekend because I don't understand. So what if the Super Bowl is mid-February? What else is going on? You know, as soon as the Super Bowl's over, everybody goes, oh, no football for all this time. So what is there anything particular happening in February that you can't spread football out till that time, is go into February? I'd appreciate it because our football doesn't start till late March. So, but also, I mean, it's a physical game, and people and they're talking about the players don't like it because the war of attrition, you know, on their bodies and so on. I called into the Rich Eisen show last year when they were talking about the 7-8 game, and I said, look, as a fan, I want an extra game, but give them an extra bye. And, you know, everybody's going, no, we can't do that. I just think it's a logical thing. I think it's a win-win for everybody. Players get, you throw an extra week in there to look after their bodies. Coaches, you know, get time to prepare. And broadcasters, it's got to be better for broadcasters because you're going to get an extra week of Sunday night game, Thursday night. Well, maybe they play the Sunday night game, but you know, you get Sunday night game, Monday night game. But also, it's just there's more people watching the games as opposed to highlight packages with the Red Zone. So if you can make that happen, that makes a lot of sense to me by having an extra.
The NFL doesn't tend to listen to people like us.
Oh, that's, can't believe that.
No, I can't either. You try. You know, I tried to make a national holiday for Derrick Henry, but, you know, they don't listen to me.
Can't believe it. He's still running, you know.
I don't think he stopped running from the playoff game. I think he's still going.
No. A friend of mine, he said he watched the playoff game and he was going, oh, Derrick Henry's overrated. I go, Are you serious? You're watching that game, and because in the second half, I think in the first half he did well. Second half he didn't gain yards, you know. Like, he's got to be heavily marked. I said, did you watch the season? Did you watch last year's playoff run where he just almost single-handedly took them to the Super Bowl? It's like, he's iconic.
Well, I'll tell you a story here, and then I'll let you go. Well, last year, I'm watching the AFC Championship game with my Titans and Kansas City in there, and their Titans are losing. They can't do anything, and I'm getting mad. I'm walking up and down the hallway, and my youngest daughter comes up and starts laughing at me and said, the Titans are going to lose. And I thought, where can she live from here on out? And I asked my wife, can we just go ahead and ship her somewhere else? And she said, no, they kind of frown on that. I was like, I'm trying to teach her these things, that it's okay to root for the Titans, that you should. And if you're going to live in this house, you're going to have to. But she hadn't listened yet.
Is there still time? Still hope, is there?
Yeah, there's still time. She's going to turn 8 Thursday, so there's still time.
Oh, okay, good. Well, happy birthday to her for Thursday.
I'll let her know you said it. Thank you.
Maybe that could be her birthday present. Hey, you can officially follow the Titans for your birthday.
Well, you know, she did say she wants a Derrick Henry jersey, and I had to fight back the tears.
Oh,
there you go. It does my heart good to hear that our kids are not too far gone.
Oh, okay. There's still hope.
Well, thank you, Mr. Gary. I appreciate you coming on the Football's Family podcast.
Thank you very much. And I'll just show my book one more time. And so
yes, over 1,000 NFL cliches and hilarious cynical grabs. And again, when this episode will drop on Thursday, and on my Facebook page and on the Twitter page, the Football's Family Twitter page, I will put a link to your website.
Thank you very much. So Thursday, your time, Friday, my time, because I'm in the future.
You are in the future.
Yep. I haven't seen Marty McFly yet, but.
About to ask, have you seen Marty McFly run by? But you haven't.
Yeah. With a DeLorean. Yeah. I should look outside and see if my car's, you know, converting to DeLorean. But anyway, see, people go, what are you talking about? Well, in the mid 80s, there was this movie called Back to the Future.
Just people need to be more cultured and watch Back to the Future 1 and 2. You can avoid 3, but 1 and 2. That's a must.
Oh, I've got a Back to the Future poster in my room. We can do that another time. I'd love to. Anytime you want me to come on and talk about, you know, the despair of the Dolphins or whatever, or we can talk if you want.
Happy
to talk about football movies too. I know a lot of people pick the usual ones, but I've thrown up Heaven Can Wait and so on. So, you know, if you ever want to
Look, you're tapping into another one of my interests, and that is football movies, period. When you said you had a Back to the Future poster in there, I just had a nerd moment. It made me feel really good too. When my wife met me, I had Spider-Man posters on my wall, and she said the only reason she married me is because I like football. She said I couldn't handle the nerd part, but I like the football part.
Oh, gold. I love it. Yeah. So for sure, you let me know, and we'll do another one on the whole nerd football movie aspect of it, because there's a lot of people go for the obvious ones and so on, but there's a lot of other ones out there. And then we could also there's TV shows, you know, I had put on the TV the other day while I was just having lunch, and an old episode of the A-Team came on, and they had all these ex-footballers like Broadway Joe and so on and that. So there's lots of, we could get into all that sort of thing for the nerds. We could talk on that.
We could do that. And in fact, let me get you on sometime in May and we'll talk about this.
Excellent. And thank you very much for all your help. And as I say, hopefully people, you know, get a laugh from my book, and, you know, or it's a good gift. I mean, so, you know, might keep somebody entertained in these bizarre times. If I throw a cliche, these times, the likes of which we've never seen before, it's a cliche that's been used a lot over the last year, and hopefully everybody's doing okay.
It's the new norm.
Norm from Cheers.
Norm. Thank you, Mr. Gary.
Thank you, Jeremy.
The 2021 Professional Football Researchers Association Convention will be held at the Gold Jacket Lounge at the Pro Football Hall of Fame during the final weekend of June. Convention speakers will celebrate the 100th anniversary of the founding of the NFL. The fee for the convention is $50 for members and $100 for non-members. The fee includes admission to the convention and Pro Football Hall of Fame, meals on Friday evening and Saturday afternoon, and free parking. All convention activities are subject to COVID-19 protocols. For more details, click on the 2021 PFRA convention link at profootballresearchers.org.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, aka the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
The Pigskin Tales podcast is all about the lesser known pro football players. Yes, there are stories about the ones we know, like Brad Tarkenton and Harold Red Grange. But have you ever heard of Ernie Nevers? How about Dave Osborne or even Grady Alderman? These men created their own path to the NFL. How did they do it? Listen to the Pigskin Tales podcast, now streaming on your favorite music platform. Go to pigskintales.com.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.